We're gonna play around with a few boys and girls. Maybe there'll be a few girls. We get a few girls in here sometimes. That's fine. Unbelievable Sports Mass Collective episode December, the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus H. Christ. God bless us all. Merry Christmas, if you believe that sort of thing, or whatever the fuck. Happy Hanukkah, I guess. Who cares? Anywho, listen, as Dak Prescott says before he snaps the ball, and I've really grown to love it. Okay, he's never talked about enough. It's one of my favorite things watching the Cowboys is him screaming, "Here we go!" before he hikes the ball every time. I think I'm going to steal that if I haven't already. Anywho, we're going to go all around the league. Week 14. Week 14, right? Is that right? Let's check while we while the thousands, if not millions, join us live. I believe it's week 14, right? I know there's five weeks left. Yeah, week 14. Five games left in the regular season already. I said it since week one. It's the fastest season in all of sports. And we are in the thick of it now. Woo-wee! No, it is week 14. I'm not really sorry. We're in the thick of it. This is what we live for. If you're a football fan, this is what you live for. We got two Monday night games. We got a beautiful Sunday night game. Some would call it the game of the year. I know we had a lot of games of the year, but it changes week to week on who's playing. We'll get into that. We got two Monday night games. And if you love the NFL and you love football, it's the best time of year. Soon we'll have the Saturday games. We got two Monday night games this week. And we got a lot to talk about with the NFL. Before we get to that, we must touch on the New York Yankees. And credit, you know, I'm a Mets and Jets fans, unfortunately, wish I was dead. But credit to the Yankees. Huge trade this week, getting Juan Soto and Trent Grisham for the outfield. It's really not a ton to say because this isn't a hack sports podcast where I'm going to waste an hour talking about something that already happened. But yeah, this is what the Yankees needed. I mean, Juan, so the Stanton deal wasn't great from the beginning. He hasn't been great. We got Juan Soto, a lefty with that short porch at Yankee Stadium. Forget about it. And you couple that with Trent Grisham. And then you got Judge in the outfield. Very scary. Kudos. He watches the show. Mr. Cashman. Kudos to Cashman for getting the Yankees back on track. Something the Mets can never do. But yeah, that is a... Judge, Grisham, Stanton, if he could wake up a little bit. He's a weird guy, weird player. Freakish body, but a weird player. And lefty bats with that short porch. Lefty power bats, forget it. Soto might have 60, 70 home runs this year. I talked a lot of shit to Soto back over there in left field in Citi Field when he was playing with the Nationals. I saw him a lot. Did a lot of shit talking at him back in the day when I used to go to games and the Mets weren't worthless. He's a fiery player. He talks shit. I know that from heckling him. He responds. He turns around. He gives you the finger. I've interacted directly with Juan Soto. No big deal at all. But no, he is. I hate to say it because he is a little bit of a douche. He's got a little something. He's got a little too much swagger for my liking, Juan Soto. But I'd be bullshitting if I said he wasn't a great fucking player. And the Yankees doing what they had to do to shore up that lineup after underachieving for So yeah, great. Good for fucking them. Great for them. All right. Well, let's get right into the football. We're going solo dolo this week. You know the rules. Super chats read immediately. All the comments I'll get to like a regular sports show. If you have any questions or queries for Stancil Stradamus, feel free to put them in the chat if you're watching live. If not, I don't fucking care. On a side note, yeah, my birthday's in a couple days, but unlike I see some of these other shows are like these like 40, 50 plus year old men making big deals out of their birthdays. I'm not going to name names. Just check your Twitter feed in this gay universe or a certain universe and you'll see what I'm talking about. But pretty embarrassing if you ask me. That'll be the last you hear me mention my birthday because first of all, I guess when you turn 30, you can care about it. But other than that, unless you're a girl, and even girls shouldn't care about it. I'm just saying it's expected as a girl that they care about stupid things like their birthdays. Other than that, it's just another revolution, baby. It's all revolutions, another cycle around the planets, another revolution around the sun. That's all it is. What's a year? What's time? Time's a man-made construct anyway. It's all made up to help us cognitively take in the world around us and not be overwhelmed that time doesn't exist and everything we know is just made up by men. But anywho, we'll save that for another show. Let's start quickly with the game last night with the Steelers losing to the Patriots. The Steelers was one of the worst 2 weeks, an unbelievable loss to the Arizona Cardinals, proceeded to lose to the Patriots. A mere couple weeks ago, they were in the driver's seat. Not only of making the playoffs, but with the Bengals and Burrow going down, well, I guess the Ravens are in that division. I'm wrong, but as of a couple weeks ago, they're almost a sure thing for the playoffs. The Steelers, and now it's quite the opposite. Now they're going to have to work for it. They don't have many tiebreakers now. Mitch Trubisky got booed the entire game last night, and rightfully so. A lot of people are making a really big deal out of these losses. Like, how could they? While it is terrible, I mean, they had no business losing to the Patriots last night with the talent they have or the Cardinals the week before. At the same time, I'm not overly surprised because they have no – that offense is a weird offense. Najee Harris continues to underperform. They don't have a quarterback. Trubisky stinks. He got booed all night. I'm surprised he completed any passes with the way he was throwing it. So I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to do something at quarterback or the game plan. You know, Tomlin says he'll get him back on track. If any coach could do it, Tomlin's one of them. So I don't doubt the Steelers still. But Jesus, to lose to the Patriots, that's a tough one. I mean, you got to find a way to win the game. You got to find a way to, the defense did a decent job, but they still gave up points when they shouldn't. They had to figure out a way to win that game last night, and they did not. So, fuck the Steelers, I guess. Like, yeah, and that's too bad. The Steelers have always been kind of my second team after the Jets. I've always liked the defensive base, the meanness of the Pittsburgh teams. So I'd like to see them get in there, but. Boy, they're not helping themselves. What else is going on in the league? Boy, it's one of the worst years. It was safe to say now, 5 games left. This is one of the worst years of quarterbacks we've seen in a while in the NFL. You can count on one hand with a couple fingers blown off the great quarterbacks this year. And even the ones that are doing well aren't. Like Jalen Hurts, you look at his numbers, they're not great. The Eagles continue to win, but numbers ain't great. I mean, Mahomes not having a great year. I guess you could say Tua's having a pretty damn good year, I guess. Brock Purdy, do we want to say he's having a great year? Not really. McCaffrey. I guess my point is an interesting year where it could be a rare year where a non-quarterback wins the MVP. And if you have any brain cells, you know where I'm going with this. That would be Tyreek Hill or Christian McCaffrey are the two that come to mind that could possibly win the MVP this year, other than a quarterback. I don't see any defensive players doing it. That's almost impossible in today's game. But who? I mean, feel free in the chat. I'll check it in a minute. Feel free in the nations for MVP, but I mean, for quarterbacks, no one jumps off the page this year. And that could be why there's so much parity in the league. So that's an interesting point by me, because I'm a very interesting person. It's great. You know what? Let's go try a little pick horse. This one into week 14 here. But let's take a look at the standings now that we're coming down the stretch. Shall we, folks? Let's take a look at both leagues. Let's start with the AFC. The division winners are pretty much in hand. I guess the AFC South, maybe, but the Dolphins are going to win the AFC East. The Chiefs are going to win the AFC West. Ravens, obviously, in the North. The Jags are only a game up on the Colts there in the South. Trevor Lawrence may play this week. He hasn't practiced all week. If I'm the Jags, he shouldn't play. I think it's going to be better. Beat hard. Hell of a name. Starting for the Jags this week. Jags at 8-4 in that division. The Colts and Texans both at 7-5, a game behind. So the AFC South may be a division up in the air, but the other three divisions in the AFC are pretty much locked up. You know, crazy things can happen, but essentially the Chiefs, Ravens, and Dolphins should have those divisions pretty steadily in hand. Now we go over the NFC. We've got a few more questions here. Starting with the Eagles and Cowboys, which we'll see Sunday night. Huge game. Like I said, this could be the game of the year so far. Again, Eagles at 10-2, Cowboys at 9-3. We'll talk about who's winning the game when we get to the picks, but obviously the Cowboys win, they'll be tied with the Eagles at 10-3. The Eagles have a very easy schedule after this week. The Cowboys do not. So I still foresee the win or lose this game. I mean, the Eagles win this game, they should have that division in hand. Even if the Eagles lose Sunday night with their schedule, anything can happen in the NFL, but they should win at least. They throw in a random loss there, they're going to win 3 out of 4. The Cowboys have a pretty tough road coming up after this week. So the NFC East up in the air. That West is locked up. Niners are going to run away with that, and the Lions are going to run away with their division there, and the NFC North at 9-3, and the Vikings behind them at 6-6. The NFC South, the most disgusting division in football, is the other division up in the air there in the NFC. Falcons in front of that division at 6-6. The Buccaneers and the Saints at 5-7. I don't see the Saints winning enough games to overtake the Falcons here. But again, these teams are so middling that who knows? Anything can happen with these teams. I actually think the Bucs are the best team in that division with Baker Mayfield. Mike Evans, under the radar, having a great year for a veteran, by the way, if you haven't been paying attention. Which, you know, being that they're 5-7, maybe you shouldn't be paying attention. I'm not saying you should, but one of these teams is not going to have to play the wild card round. So the Falcons, Buccaneers, or Saints are going to win a division, which is sad to say, but that's what it is. So let's take a look at the playoff picture now here too. I can tell you already, basically in the AFC, and this makes it easy for you armchair fans. In the AFC, the wildcard team is essentially going to need to win 10 games, and the NFC is going to be 9 games. You can almost take that to the bank with you got 3 teams making it in each league. So let's take a look. I don't need to see all this. Just show me the goddamn standings. I was just looking at it, please. Okay, here we go. Here we go. All right. So in the AFC, we got the Browns at 7-5. We got the Colts at 7-5. We got the Texans at 7-5. Those teams are all in the playoffs at the moment. You got the Steelers going to 7-6 now. I don't like where that team is trending. I'm not feeling the Steelers there. You got the Broncos at 6-6. And they're playing the Chargers this week. And the Broncos are that stock is going up. And then you got the Bengals also. It's the Bengals, Bills, and Broncos are all at 6-6. Like I said, there's five games left. I think the winner to get into the wild card, you're going to need 10 games in the AFC. So they're going to have to win 4 out of 5, these bubble teams here. Or if you're the Chargers at 5-7 or the Raiders, you're going to think you're going to need to win all 5. I don't see that happening for those, that caliber of team. So there's your AFC picture. Let's go over to the NFC. A little more convoluted in the NFC. So it's going to be the Cowboys or Eagles. Whoever doesn't win that division is going to be the first wild card team there. That team's going to have at least, I would say, at least 11 or 12 wins, if not more, coming out of the NFC East. But then you got the Vikings 6-6, the Packers 6-6, those teams at the moment in the playoffs. Then you got the Seahawks 6-6, the Rams 6-6. As we just said, the Buccaneers and Saints at 5-7. And if you want to do crack cocaine, you could even throw the Giants and Bears at 4-8 in there. You know how shitty those teams are. I don't see that happening. But yeah, you got a real shit show there for those last two spots that are going to be in the NFC East. It's going to be the Vikings, Packers, Seahawks, and Rams. And maybe one of those shitty NFC South teams as well, fighting to get in. Like I said, I think you're going to need 9 wins to get in there in the NFC wild card, but one less spot than the AFC, which makes it a little tougher. We'll get to a little more of that when we talk about the matchups this week. Before we get to that, it's time, folks. It's time for the weekly Stancil Stradamus's power rankings going into week 14 of the NFL. And again, these are always very controversial indeed. The 49ers showed out last week. Hey, listen, I said it last week. I know I picked the Eagles, but I said it could go one of two ways, and it went that other way. The 49ers showed out. They put a hurting on them. They put up a big numbers. They showed me something which reflects it here. I'm still putting the Ravens, the number one. I think that's the hardest team in the NFL on both sides of the ball, talent on both sides of the ball. I'm taking the Ravens still at 1. Now, biggest jump, closest they've been. I got the Niners at 2. I got the Dolphins at 3. Tua continues to show me stuff. The Dolphins offense hasn't slowed down. They're playing the Titans this week, who, just like I said last week, I told you last week they were going to put up monster numbers against the Commanders, and they did. They're going to do it again this week against the Titans. But give me the Dolphins at 3, and this is might shock some people. Give me the Cowboys at 4. Cowboys looking really good at the right time. Some people are saying Dak should be in that MVP conversation this year. I'm not a big Cowboys guy, but credit where credit is due. They look really good right now. Good offense, good game plan, which a lot of these hack coaches don't have. And I had to put the Chiefs behind the Cowboys. They continue, at a certain point, you have to leave expectations behind and look at reality. And the reality is the Chiefs offense is just not there this year. Pat Mahomes is a Hall of Fame quarterback. So is Travis Kelce. But boy, they still have not found an identity in offense. They don't look like they can turn it on at will as they have in years past, the Chiefs. So yeah, the Chiefs dropped to 5 in old Stancil's rankings this week. I got the Jags at 6. I got a feeling that'll change for next week. With Lawrence out, it looks like Trevor Lawrence should be back after this week. They're still throwing around that he could play this week. If they have any brain cells, if I were the Jags, there's no chance I would play Trevor Lawrence this week. Let him heal. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to need him. Let him heal another week. You got the pesky Lions there at 7, and you got the Bills there at 8, with the Bills with a huge game against the Chiefs. The second biggest game of the week, that's going to be your 425. I believe that's going to be the national game at the 425 spot, the Bills and Chiefs. And the Bills, I would say, you know, it's hack to say the Bills can show me something. The Bills basically need to win this game at 6-6. The Bills have to win this game. Obviously, they have to win it for their record and for a shot. They're not going to win the division with the Dolphins. And as we said, they're going to need 10 wins at least to make the wild card in the AFC. So the Bills need this game. Season's not technically over if they lose it, but they're going to have a hard road if they lose this game against the Chiefs. So Bills are going to be up for this game. And Chiefs have to show something. Their motivation has to be to get this season back on track. They've had some real duds. So those are your rankings going into week 14 of the NFL. Let's check the comments for the first time today. I see there's a surprisingly decent amount for the brave soldiers that are watching. Ed Gainiger, congrats on your OP appearance and congrats to Otani. Ed Gainiger, sure love me. How about that, you fucking pieces of shit? I'm homeless. But what are you talking? What happened with Otani? Otani to the Blue Jays. Breaking news. Thank you, Ed Gainiger. First chat off the board. Good for him. Good for Otani. I mean, I've talked about it on this show and in shows of yore. What Otani is doing in the Major League Baseball is absolutely unbelievable. To do what he does on, put it this way, to do what he does on one side of the ball, he may still be a Hall of Fame player. And the fact that he's doing it on the mound and in the box and in the field, it really can't be understated what a talent Otani is. Good for the Blue Jays. Any team would have loved him. So good for the Blue Jays. And boy, wow. Blue Jays. That's a scary. And I guess they had to do it with the Yankees getting Soto and Grisham. But boy, the Blue Jays are a very scary team. I mean, for me, I think the Blue Jays are more exciting than the Yankees with the young talent, Bichette and Guerrero. Now, Otani. I'm sorry, I'm blanking. Who's their other? Is it Springer or am I thinking of the Rangers? Anyway, Blue Jays are a very scary team. It's a comedy sports podcast. Who gives a fuck? We don't fact check. I'm not looking it up. Thank you, Ed Gainiger. I go with the bat making news. Yeah, Derek Andrews, yo, here we go. Okay, here we go. Hot. I'm Dak Prescott now. Dr. Chow in the chat. Haven't seen Sports Mask since early in the season. You had the Eagles and Cowboys ranked higher than the Niners in your power rankings. Yeah, and I stand by that. Some people will be surprised. I still have don't have those teams in front, but man, I think the Eagles are a little less than we thought they were. If we're going to be honest, I think the Cowboys are getting hot at the right time. And that's what the power rankings are all about. It's not about resting on any laurels. It's about reality. And you know, Stanza lives in reality. Unbelievable. Time is physics. Thank you. When will Joey C be on? I don't even know what that is. I don't care about Joey C. I see he's celebrating his birthday like a fucking teenage girl. That's pathetic. That's why I don't get involved in that world. We'll save it first. Ski Mask Collective will be on tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 as usual. Save it for that show. But all this childish back and forth between the puppets and potatoes and Shuli and what is it, Tookie World? Oh God, it's so embarrassing for you guys. Like, you're like children. I guess you didn't have toys when you were kids, and that's why you care about these people. Sorry, I like reality. I like misery. I don't like fake bullshit like this. Anywho, AC/DC 499. Sorry, I didn't see it on the board. AC/DC, the great super chatter from MLC. He had some great ones yesterday. Hate to say it, but Brady is right. NFL is average. I saw those Brady comments. Hey, listen, I'll take the game last night over any college game. The college games for me are just so boring. There's no defense whatsoever. You can pick 90% of the games by the seeds. Yeah, I think college football stinks. Sorry. I just think the product sucks. It's like I said last week, and I said forever. You don't go and watch farm team games for baseball when you have the real thing. So, no, I don't watch fucking the amateur hour on Saturday when I have the real thing on Sunday. And I stand by that. And I've been saying that for years. But I appreciate that's why we do sports. Sports shows are made for disagreements. And that's why we're here. Raiders are toast. I like that. Oh, there's a fake chow and a real chow. That's gay. Get a life. Be your own. Anywho, let's get to it. It's another solo week. We're getting right to the fucking picks. I don't have time for bullshit or nonsense or anything. I don't have time for just about anything these days. In the real world, world and not with puppets and potatoes. Anywho, go fuck yourself. You hear the music. It's that fucking time, you folk. Pieces of shit. The only All-American in comedy podcasting picking all the games for week 14 of the greatest professional sports league on the planet, the NFL. And again, to quote Dak Prescott, let me get my Celsius, excuse me. Okay, here you go. Week 14. Unbelievable that this game matters, but it does for the NFC South. We got the Tampa Bay Bucks. Yes, that's the first place Falcons at 6-6 in Atlanta. Oh, by the way, to quote the great Jake Hudson, by the way, before I do these picks, it's just a overall heads up to my fellow gamblers, although I lost all my money this week on shitty parlays. A lot of shitty weather all over the country this week for these games. Keep that in mind. I'm going to keep in mind when picking them. You fine folks at home, keep that in mind when you're doing especially the overs and unders. A lot of shitty weather for all these outdoor games, especially on the East Coast this weekend. A lot of wind, a lot of rain. There's your Stancil tip of the week for your betting. Keep that in mind when you're picking these games. Going to be a lot of messy games this weekend. Not in Atlanta, though. Atlanta's in a dome. Atlanta's laying 2.5. Listen, I like the Bucks here. Bucks getting points. Baker Mayfield at the helm. Mike Evans having a hell of a year. Yeah, I'm taking the Bucks plus 2.5. That'll tie them for the lead in the NFC. In the NFC South, both teams will be 6-7, if you can believe that. But listen, we know that. There's always a division where the winner wins 8 games. There's always an 8-win team in the playoffs. That should be no surprise. Doesn't mean the NFL sucks. It happens every year. I'm taking the Bucks plus 2.5 down at Atlanta. Wow, the second game right off the bat. The Lions minus 3.5 in Chicago. Respondents before we go any further. Let's get it out of the way. We'll start with the beautiful, voluptuous, the my mommy, Kelly P. Is me. Let's see if she picks up. Opie saw Kelly's ass this week.
Hello.
Hello, it's Jim Stancil. You're live on Sports Mass Collective. It doesn't matter. The Lions at the Bears. Bears are getting 3.5 points at home.
Yeah, well, pussy boy miserably in the cold, so I take the Bears 100%.
Wow, who's pussy boy? Jared Goff?
Jared Goff's a pussy boy. He doesn't play in the snow, and it's going to be cold and windy here.
There you have it. Boo from the reporting. You're... Anything you want to say to the people?
Hi, people. No, very impressed with your Opie appearance. I've got nothing but amazing feedback, so.
Thank you, Mommy. Oh, we're just getting started.
I know.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'll let you get back to saving dogs or something, whatever you do. All right, goodbye. There she goes. Wow. Kelly P, a great take. What did I just say? A lot of inclement weather all over the nation this week. Kelly P taking the Bears and the points at home with the weather at 3.5. Now we got to call White Julio. Julio today, he has a real job like most of us. I have to go to my real job in a bit. But let's get White Julio on the horn because that's interesting to see what his take is. Fan favorite, White Julio. Will he pick up? Oh, the suspense. Every week. Wow, he didn't pick up for me. Fuck him. All right. Listen, Kelly brings up a great point with the 3.5. I couldn't believe this line when I saw it. -3.5 with the talent the Bears have and how shitty the talent the Lions have and how shitty the Bears have. Lions and Tigers and Bears. Oh, my. Heck! And I understand since bringing this line down. However, boy, I understand a divisional game, so the Bears get up. But I just can't. I can't take the Bears against. I'm sorry, Kelly. The Bears fucking stink. I know Jared Goff is a little pussy boy, but he's got enough talent around him. I'm taking the Lions -3.5 on the road. Let's keep it moving. We got to pick them in Cincinnati. We got the Colts 7-5 at the Bengals 6-6. Bengals are getting half a point. We're going to call it a pick them. We're not going to even talk about the spread. Interesting game here that the Colts are very much in the playoff picture, and the Bengals are right behind them at 6-6. The Bengals don't have a quarterback, but they got a shitload of talent around the quarterback. They're at home. This is another shitty weather game. Gardner Minshew is a Southern boy, and I never liked him. I never liked his mustache. I never liked that Barstool liked him. So fuck the Colts. Give me the Bengals to win this game straight up and crawl back into that playoff picture at 7-6. Let's move on, guys. Another inclement weather game. We got the Jags +2.5 at the Browns at home. Jags 8-4, Browns at 7-5. Jags trying to stay alive on top of that division. They're going to be without Trevor Lawrence this week for all intents and purposes. Who gives a fuck? It don't matter. And the Browns also, on their second or third string quarterback. So, another one of these games like we had last week that would have been very sexy a mere few weeks ago. Now some of the bloom is off the rose with some of the injuries for these teams. And this is what you got to keep in mind. I talked about it last week, but the quarterbacks in this league nowadays go down. And I'll bash the Jets once again. To go into this season with no backup for an aging Aaron Rodgers is inexcusable. You know, not something we would have made a big deal on the beginning of the year, because why would you? But in retrospect, you know, I also don't run the Jets. If I was a Jets GM, I would have made sure I had a viable backup who wasn't totally inept Zach Wilson going into the year. So shame on the Jets in today's league. You see how many times quarterbacks go down. This game, we got the Jags getting 2.5 on the road. Inclement weather, you know, I'm going to take the Browns at home here. I think the Browns crawl back into the picture, get themselves to 8-5. I think the Jags fall to 8-5 as they await the return of Trevor Lawrence next week. Give me the Browns -2.5 at home. I see there's some chats. Let me just make sure there's no super chats I have to answer. James R., there is. I'm a man of my word. Super chats read immediately. Bear back in the huddle is the best part of the game. There you go. I only read paid for super chat. We'll get to the rest of the chats at the end. Yes. Panthers at the Saints. Saints underachieved all year, haven't they? Just have never put it together. David Carr looks like won't be back again this week. You know, I say it week after week. It seems like the Saints should be, like I said, underachieving with some of the talent they have there. At the same time, the Panthers just stink. You know, I don't have anything much for this game. I feel like this is one of these games the Panthers just pull it out. And I'm taking them with the points at 5.5. I think this is an ugly game. It's a dome game. We don't have to worry about the weather here. I think the Saints, I think it's a close game. I think this is a game the Saints win, but the Panthers cover with the 5.5. Just give me the Panthers +5.5. Here we go. Oh, my New York Jets hosting C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans over there in the Meadowlands. It's going to be rainy and windy in the Meadowlands this Sunday. You know, this is another game. You got it. If you're going money line, I'm taking the Texans, but I'm taking the Jets with a 6.5 for the weather reasons. I think it's a messy game. I think it's a low scoring game. The Jets defense has let up. You know, I've been saying how great they are. The secondary has really took their foot off the gas the last few weeks and have really fell to the middle of the pack. Luckily, the wind and rain this Sunday is going to help them out. And the Jets' run defense and their D-line in general and the linebackers are still top of the league. So I think that's going to be tough for the Texans. I think the Jets cover. I think the Texans win. The Jets cover. I'm talking 2016 Texans, 2014, something like that. So I'm taking the Jets and the 6.5 at home. All right, let's keep it rolling, baby boys and girls. We got the Rams at the Ravens in Baltimore. Ravens -7.5. The Rams with a little juice now. Which I said all year, you know, the Rams have a nice little run game. They have their little passing game. They still got Stafford there, who's a competent quarterback. I think the Ravens, as you heard my rankings, best in the league. I think they are still the class in the league. I think they win by 8 or more, which would cover the -7.5. Sorry to the Rams. NFC, besides those top teams, quite an inferior product this year, by the way. So, yeah, give me the Ravens at home. This is their kind of game. I'm taking the Ravens -7.5. Interesting game here in Vegas, so we don't have to worry about the weather. We got the Vikings at the Raiders. Jefferson back this week. However, Dobbs, what do they call him? The Pastronaut? The Dobbstronaut? He looks like one of the Mac and Me characters, if you know that movie, Josh Dobbs. But Josh Dobbs coming back to Earth, no pun intended on the Pastronaut pun there. But Dobbs coming back to earth, as most backups do after a couple of weeks of flourishing. Teams figure him out. So an interesting game here for Dobbs. Let's see, with Jefferson back, can he be a real quarterback? Can he throw it to Jefferson? Or is he just a backup, which we all think he is? So interesting game here. Raiders think they still have a chance at 5-7, keeping their hopes alive. Interesting with Dobbs, a parallel with Antonio Pierce and the Raiders. Raiders had those couple wins off the bat with Pierce at the helm. Let's be honest, it was the Jets, it was the Giants and some other shitty team. A little ugly game here almost, but I'm going to take the Vikings with Jefferson back. I think the bloom is off the rose with Pierce. I don't see the talent on the Raiders. Sorry to Joey Dago. I'm taking the Vikings -2.5. We got the Seahawks divisional game here. Not that it matters for this division because 49ers are going to run away with it. Well, we got the Seahawks at the Niners out there in San Francisco. No worry about weather here. Niners coming off another big win last week. Or did they lose as week? Why can't I remember the four? I think I'm getting my weeks messed up. Hold on. Hold the fuck on. I'll pull up. Sorry, I got no producer. This is the show. This is a real show. There's no clips or sneebs. Yeah. Yeah, they buried the Raiders Eagles last week, and they buried the Seahawks the week before. Now you can say the Seahawks are gonna come into the chip on their shoulder. I see it the opposite way. I think the Niners, to their credit, are a real team and a real good team. They're not the type of team that's going to say, oh, we beat them 2 weeks ago, we're going to take it off. I think they want to bury them again. Divisional team. Seahawks on the road. You know my feelings on Geno Smith if you watch his show. He's good enough to get some wins, but not good enough when it counts. I think the Niners take it to him again. I think in the Niners minus the 10.5 at home, I'm taking that. Thank you, rack me. Here we go. Our second tier game of the week, your 425 national game out there in Kansas City. It's going to be cold. There's going to be wind. We got the Bills at the Chiefs. Both these guys, outdoor cold teams to their credit. Chiefs minus 2.5. Bills essentially playing for their season. 6-6, playing for their life for the wild card there. I think the Chiefs have to win this game. Obviously, the Bills do too, but the Chiefs are at home. They need to get their offense back on track. I'm taking the Chiefs minus a 2.5, less than a field goal. I think it'll be these guys always play a good game. I think it'll be a close game. If it was 3.5, I might take the Bills with the points, but it's 2.5. I do think the Chiefs pull it out. I could definitely see the Bills winning this too, though. And listen, if the Bills pull this out, good for them. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs even with that. They're going to need to win 10 games in the AFC there. I think this is a bigger game for the Chiefs, frankly. I know the Bills are playing for their season, but the Chiefs are playing for their identity at this point. I mean, if they lose another game and they lose it to the Bills and they drop down to 8-5 and they still don't have an offense, an identity on offense, yeah, like I said at the top, we can't live off who they thought they were. You know, like the Eagles getting their, you know, the Eagles came back to earth, as I thought might happen last week against the Niners. Yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs because I have to. I do think the Chiefs get back on track here at home, their kind of weather. And you know they'll be ready to play with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They know it's a big game. They know it's a national game. They hear the rumblings across the ham radios about them falling off. Give me the Chiefs minus 2.5 against the Bills, and that'll for all purposes that'll essentially end the Bills' season as well. Who had another team with an underachieving year. Interesting game here. We got the Broncos at the Chargers, the 6-6 Broncos, the 5-7 Chargers. We'll get right to it. The Chargers are who we thought they were. It can be 50-49. It can be 6-0 how they won a game last week, which was totally disgusting. The Broncos, as I keep saying, they had a terrible start to their year, but since then, credit to Sean Payton, he's a good coach, got him back on track. I'll disagree with a lot of people. I think Russell Wilson is a good quarterback. I think he was in a weird place last year and the beginning of this season, but I do think he can win. I do think he has what it takes. I think he is I'm not gonna say an elite quarterback, but he is a better than average quarterback, Russell Wilson. And they're getting points, and it's in LA. Give me the Broncos plus 2.5 there. Here's your game of the week. Sunday night, we'll all kick our children and wives down the stairs, leave them to bleed out till the game is over, then seek medical attention. That way we're not interrupted while watching the game of the week, if not the year. We got the 10-2 Eagles at the 9-3 Cowboys. All the nuts on the line, whatever metaphors you want to use, all the bacon in the oven, all the tits in your ass. Whatever. That doesn't make sense, but who cares? We got the 10-2 Eagles, 9-3 Cowboys. Cowboys minus 3.5 at home. Yeah. If you glean stuff from what I've said, you probably know where I'm going with this, but I'm taking the Cowboys minus the 3.5. The Cowboys have all the mojo at the moment. The Eagles got the doors blown off last week, which showed us all who they were, and they are, as I said all year, all along, and it's not a knock, it's just the truth. They are not a 10-2 team. I know you Philly Mongoloids think they're the best in the world. They are not. They're a good team, but they're not a great team. And I think the Cowboys, putting it all together, are approaching being a great team. Both teams, if the Cowboys win, both teams will be 10-3. Eagles have a lot easier schedule, like I said, down the stretch here. So Eagles may very well still win the division, even with a loss. But I love the Cowboys getting up for this game. You know the Cowboys are blah, 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 America's team. I'm not a Cowboy fan in any way, shape, or form. But this feel, it just has the feelings of a game the Cowboys are going to win straight out, even with the minus 3.5. And I know it's crazy to see a 10-2 team getting 3.5. But I think the Cowboys win by 4 or more. I do. So give me the Cowboys. You're welcome, Ski Mask. Give me the Cowboys at home minus 3.5 on Sunday night. And then we got the two Monday night games. A bit of a stinker, but there's some interesting stuff to watch here. The Titans at the Dolphins. Titans, as you hear me say week after week, totally lost this year. It's okay. It was for the Jets too. Just a lost year. Dolphins are minus 13.5 at home. Very similar to what happened last week against the Commanders. As Stancil Sardamas told you, the Dolphins were going to absolutely destroy that Commander secondary last week. There's going to be more of the same this week down there in Miami against the Titans. Totally terrible secondary. The Dolphins are minus 13.5. They're going to win by 20 or more. Give me the Dolphins at home. You know, there's a lot of these games where anything can happen in the NFL, and pretty much all the games I picked, I wouldn't be surprised. Surprised maybe the wrong word, but there's parity in the NFL. All these guys are pros, obviously the best in the world. So any team can win any week. I'm never overly surprised when the upsets happen. This is one where I would be astonished if somehow the Titans win this game, straight up. So yeah, I'm taking the Dolphins to cover the 13.5. And our second Monday night game, interesting, they're both on at the same time. I don't really get that. I thought they usually stagger them like 7 and 8:30. But anyway, both 8:15. We got the Packers who, look out, don't look now, folks, have a real shot of the playoffs in the NFC at 6-6. You know, 5 games left, as we said. I think the NFC, you're going to need 9 wins, so they can even take a couple losses, the Packers can, and still make the playoffs. The 6.5 Packers going down to the Meadowlands there at the 4-8 Giants. If you're totally outside of your mind, if you're a mongoloidal Giants fan, you probably have it in your head with Tommy Lasagna there that you can make the playoffs somehow still. But technically, you can, the 4-8. If they win out, the Giants will be 9-8. But if you're being realistic, I don't see that happening. Sorry, sorry to you, idiot Giants fan. Sorry to Steve Conte, the guy. Giants getting 6.5 at home. Yeah, it's not going to be great weather. But Packers are from Green Bay, where it's never great weather. I'm going to take the Packers minus the 6.5 to close out the week. Sorry to, you know. I think the Packers are going to win and cover. You know what? Fuck it. I'll throw you pieces of shit a bone. I'll change it for you. Here's what's going to happen. The Packers are going to win, but the Giants are going to cover. Tommy Lasagna was going to show up enough to keep that game close. And those are Stancil's picks for week 14 of the NFL season, and those are the picks. Let's check the comments before I free you all of these shackles. What did I miss? Stanzel, is Gino mentally ill? Be honest. No, I think Gino's just Gino. And I think, as with everybody, well, a lot of people do, especially you dabble versus mongoloids, you make a big deal out of nothing these days. So if you just listen to what he said, it's really not a big deal. You just understand that's his personality. Stancil, how come you're not talking about buying viewers and Melton and Julian Tukey? Okay, well, ACDC is a good egg, so I'll answer him. If it wasn't him, I wouldn't even acknowledge it. First of all, that's stuff for Ski Mask Collective, which will be on tomorrow at our usual, at our new but usual spot, I believe, at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon. So join us then, where we'll cover all the MLC and nonsense world. I'll never talk about Tukey and Shuley directly and Milton. I've said from the beginning, Milton sucks. I've said from the beginning, Tukey is a childish bullshit thing for you mouth-breathing mongoloids that didn't have a childhood. I don't give a fuck about any of this. I don't give a fuck about potatoes. If you follow along, what do I always say? I live in the real world. I live in reality. This is all like manufactured crap. That's why it's so boring to me. I don't not like these people because I think they suck. It's just boring. And this is how they're clinging on. Like, I see all this chatter about the Cardiff and the potato talking about a Tukey world order. Like, it's so cringe. It's embarrassing. Go do something in the real world. Go to Gebhardt's on a Tuesday. Do something to impress me. You're not impressed. And frankly, here's the truth. Here's the truth that they don't want to hear. Whether they like it or not, the only reason anybody knows any of these people is because they're writing, because they're talking about Stuttering John, who I'm not a fan of either. But Stuttering John went out and did it in the real. All these people do is talk about other people. Do something yourself. Make something yourself to talk about. Rack me. So no, I don't care about any of that. Milton has always sucked. And as it happens time and time again, guys, Stancil Sradamus. I said since day one with Milton on MLC that he stunk and he was going to leave, and that's where he's at. I said the fucking puppet stinks and he stinks. I said all these people stink. Again, you can like them, but it's a lower echelon of crap. It's fake drama, long story short. They're just making up stuff out of nowhere. The only person who should care is the only person who did care, which was Brennan, because they directly bought views for his show and he embarrassed them by pointing it out. So Brennan's the only one that should care about it. Anybody else, find someone else to talk about, because it's fucking boring. It's fun when Brennan does it. You're not Brennan. I'm not Brennan. Let it go. Rack me. Thanks. Stancil Sradamus. Thank you. Goodbye. Dr. Chow. Brennan could hit. Now that's funny. Brennan could hit 50,000 viewers today. Yeah. It's so stupid. I think it's gay to begin with, caring about viewers and super chats. Like, just do a good show. I'm from the old school, I guess, where all you homos put views and super chats and fake people on pedestals. I like to live in reality, and I always will, and that's why I always remain at the top. ACDC 199, hope you know I was kidding. KB been annoying lately. ACDC, I don't blame you. You've heard me. I've always been honest about Brennan. I've enjoyed the show. I thought the roast was a bit of a dud, and it was probably might have been overshadowed a bit by a certain person going on Opie's show. Who's to say? I thought the roast was a bit of a dud. It wasn't Brennan's fault. Barry Ribs dudded it. And by the way, I saw Ribs that very night at the stand. I think there's a picture somewhere. I went to visit Ray and Barry at the stand that Tuesday night after Opie. Big Tuesday this week. You got to watch Tuesdays. We'll be back again this week. But ACDC, you got to temper it. You got to be careful not to go to extremes. You got to remember, all you mongoloids, as Kevin Brennan quotes me regularly, MLC is and always has been a show about a show. It's the greatest soap opera in podcasting, and he's the only one that knows how to do it. A lot of other people try to do it. Ski Mask Collective, for going on 4 years now, has covered it. Think of us as like the 90 Day Fiancé wrap-up show. That's what we do for MLC. But that's what these other Mongo, I'm not even going to say their names anymore. You could do the math. These other people are just trying to make fake stuff. Whereas at least Brennan is talking about real stuff. It's his life and it's whatever. Whereas these guys are just talking about other people's lives. It's boring to me. It should be boring to you. Stop giving them money. Give me money. We don't have, we're real people. We're doing it. And if you don't like me, then don't like me. I don't fucking care. That's the difference between me and everybody else too. I love talking shit. So if you hate me, put it on the, put it on Twitter. Let's do it in the real world or come on the show. Anywho, enough about all these losers. Another week in the books. Amazing. The longest running sports podcast and comedy continues to march the fuck on. All American athlete. I continue to do it. I'm single-handedly changing the surface of the planet. And you're all doing it with me if you watch weekly or listen later, whether you watch live or later. God bless you all. Ski Mask Collective tomorrow at 12:30. Tuesdays, the usual big Tuesdays, 12:30 on the 12:40 live from NYC on the YouTube channel, 1:30 the dump, 2:15 in hot water, and then we go from there. I may be bringing a very special guest with me to in hot water on Tuesday. Keep that out, but start with Ski Mask Collective tomorrow, 12:30. Enjoy your Friday. I'm going to go to work because I have a real job. You guys go do whatever. Count all the votes. And yeah, all praise Genghis Khan.